For those on the statist left, things with the Labour Party really didn't go well at all, but this still hasn't stopped some on the left from continuing to put some of their hopes in the Labour Party. And in fact, since the defeat of the Corbyn phenomena, it has been very noticeable that there are those on the left who, instead of being focused on trying to bring about social change, have instead been obsessed with factional Labour Party nonsense and the machinations of the new Starmer-led regime in the party, trying to desperately salvage the reputations of Jeremy Corbyn and co, and therefore abandoning suffering working-class poor people, for example. However, there are some on the left who've given up on the Labour Party and are now putting their hopes and energy into something else. And some of those people have decided that the solution is the Green Party. This appears to include some left-wing social media commentators and influencers, such as the incredibly middle-class liberals at Navarra Media, and also, it appears, Owen Jones and others, who all seem to be getting behind the Greens. The Green Party are seen as a social democratic party, perhaps even some see them as socialist. There is, of course, the minority of watermelon lefties within the Green Party, though these really are just disguised middle-class social capitalists, if you ask me. The Green Party are seen as being the best hope because they are supposed to be progressive, left-wing, and having a chance of gaining seats in Parliament, etc., and having an influence on politics. We are supposed to believe that these people offer us real hope and change, including for working-class people. All we need to do is vote for them and maybe get involved in campaigning for them. And they are supposed to be a party that is truly democratic. But in reality, none of this is true, and it appears that some just never learn. The fact is that the Green Party in this country and other Green Parties around the world have an awful track record that includes being anti-working class and implementing neoliberal politics in practice, both at the local level in this country and abroad, and whenever they've gained power in coalition governments in other countries in the world. They always abandon their environmental policies, especially when in power at the national level. It is clear that they are a capitalist party which will, in practice, always put the interests of the capitalist class first, which also means the detriment of the environment and working class people. Political parties like the Green Party claim that capitalism is just being mismanaged and can be corrected, but this misses the point completely. That the capitalist profit motive stifles social positives and progress in general simply to maintain profits, and simply making some particular reforms will not deal with the various problems of capitalism, the various ways that corporations kill the potential for social improvement. These people do not want to make the necessary fundamental change that is required, and they divert people away from grassroots organising and co-opt and pacify this into the dead end of capitalist electoralism. Whenever they're in power, they betray many of their supporters and make concessions of many campaign promises. And all this is to the advantage of neoliberalism and the state. And interestingly, one of the co-leaders of the Green Party of England and Wales, Adrian Ramsay, has been a corporate chief executive and CEO, and no doubt has connection to the corporate world. Caroline Russell, an ex-leader of the party, has also worked with the Tories, and the Green Party in the UK have previously had an electoral pact with the austerity-happy, demonstrably anti-working class Lib Dems. The Green Party in England and Wales have also shown support for the monarchy, for example, marking the Platinum Jubilee of the Queen by congratulating her and thanking her in a bootlicking tweet for her decades of so-called public service. Outside Britain, the picture is no better. For example, the Irish Greens were a total disaster in power. They joined a coalition government with right-wingers, supporting every policy to prop up the banks. They then became ardent supporters of austerity and dropped most of their environmental policies. The German Greens did much the same, joining a coalition with xenophobic conservatives and signing oil deals with the Saudis. So much for green energy. In Austria, the Greens, in coalition with right-wingers, presented joint plans for both a headscarf ban and a carbon tax and a tax on plane tickets in Vienna, plus corporation tax cuts. the Canadian Greens formed a coalition with right-wingers in British Columbia and strongly opposed pro-union legislation. As I say, in Britain, the Green Party have only ever gained power at a local level on local councils, but even here they have gladly shown whose side they're on. In 2012, the Brighton and Hove Green Council proposed budget cuts, which included cuts to the pay of the lowest paid workers. The Brighton Greens thought that they could get away with all this without there being a strike, and they were wrong. The bin workers rightly went on strike, and the Green-led council brought in scab labour. Caroline Lucas also scabbed on the bin workers with a community clean-up, and she also defended the behaviour of the council in the press. But this isn't all. Also in 2013, prominent Green Party member Jenny Jones, also known as Baroness Jones of Molscombe, sided with former Met Police Commissioner Ian Blair, now Baron Blair of Bowton, regarding calls for him to step down in the wake of the killing of Jean-Charles de Menezes. And Jenny Jones also wanted the phone hacking inquiry to be called off. In June of that year, workers at the Royal Shrewsbury Hospital were told that they would have to start paying £60 a week for parking. This massively affected load pay workers at the hospital and amounted to a significant pay cut. A local campaign started around this, but the local Green Party, despite their talk of being pro-worker, said that they fully supported the charges as it would encourage people to use the bus service, a bus service which local people knew was very inadequate. In February 2015, the Green Party Council in Brighton voted for £20 million of cuts to local services. Yet, they also voted to protect the Mayor's office from the cuts and to keep funding political party assistance for each party. In August 2015, Sean Berry, the candidate for London Mayor at the time, urged Camden Council to use anti-terror laws to deter drivers parking around St Pancras International Station. In October 2015, Jenny Jones said that she expected the Green Party to back Tory toff Zach Goldsmith for London Mayor. Interestingly, in 2015, Brighton's Green Council ranked a pathetic 302nd out of 326 councils for recycling. In November 2016, Caroline Lucas pledged support for the Lib Dems regarding the triggering of Article 50, and she also campaigned with the Lib Dems on this during the Richmond Park by-election. This was part of the Greens' electoral pact with the Lib Dems, despite all that the Lib Dems had supported in coalition with the Tories. The bedroom tax, huge rises in tuition fees, VAT increases and shifting the tax burden onto the poor, the privatisation of Royal Mail and the abolition of the Independent Living Fund for disabled people. In June 2017, the Green Party councillor for Southfield, Bristol, Stephen Clark, evicted a tenant after the tenant told him that the rent increase of 28% was unaffordable. Clark owns many local buy-to-let properties. In September 2020, the Green Council for Brighton and Hove cut the salaries of the housing maintenance team and didn't pay sick pay. They also stopped negotiations with the GMB union and brought in scabs to undermine the resulting strike. In January 2021, the Brighton Green Council removed a scheduled pay rise for all council workers for April of that year. In October that year, there was another bin strike in Brighton because of the Green Council. Then we have someone like Jonathan Porritt, who makes a point of supporting the Green Party and has always been a supporter of Caroline Lucas. He is the Chancellor of Keele University and in that role imposed massive fee increases. He's made a lot of money from the privatisation of Wessex Water and was, and probably still is, an advisor to King Charles. He is the strategy advisor to the anti-union Marks and Spencer and was the chair of Tony Blair's so-called Sustainable Development Commission. And in 2009, in true Malthusian style, he called for the then Prime Minister Gordon Brown to issue government restrictions on families having more than two children. On this channel, I've consistently made the case for not voting for or supporting any political party or politician, and will continue to do so. And I hope you can see why. Don't be taken in and conned by the Green Party or any of them. All they can do is manage the capitalist status quo, which is always to our detriment. Politicians, political parties and union leaders are a diversion away from building independent, grassroots alternatives and carrying out direct action. Even if we are to gain reforms, how we do so is vital, and we should not be dependent on politicians and union bosses and look up to them as our saviours. In any case, it's not even our parliament. It never has been and it never will be. It belongs to the monarch, and that tells you all you need to know about it. And every act of parliament has to be approved by the monarch to be passed. There's nothing democratic about it. What we need to do is to build real working class self-organisation, resistance, power and unity outside of the parliamentary system. And that's where our focus should be. Thank you for listening, everyone. All the best.